gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top. My name is Jamie. We're back once again with another episode. I'm with my co-host, Jordan O'Reilly. How are you getting on, man? Are you still tired after the weekend?
Yeah, it was a long weekend of Guinness and making a show of ourselves. Once I was picking up where we left off in the last, at the start of the pandemic, so... Here we are, episode 8. We're joined by two very special guests today, Paddy Kavanagh and Shane Super Lads. How are you getting on?
Oh, good, lads. Thanks for having us on.
Not too bad, gents. Good to be here.
Welcome to the show, lads. I want to thank our two guests from last week, which were, Jesus Christ, it was on last week.
Fingers Rowe and Chris
from Glentoran, who gave us a good insight into possibly an All-Ireland League from a Dipsos point of view. But we had a nice week up in Derry there, myself and Jordan. We were all on the lash, and believe it or not, we're still bollocks, we're still tired, and if I had my way, the car was going into the foil on the way home. but we'd like to thank our sponsors this week once again. Grand Cru Beers, who've looked after us with a couple of Grevensteiners, some Veltins, all the lads in the gargle once again tonight. Also like to thank Vault Fashions, who've kitted us out before. Hopefully give us some more clothes, because I'm running out of jocks and whatnot.
And we've New Age Barbers as well in Fisford. Jay Blake, who gave me a nice fresh fade there last week. Whelan's obviously still waiting for his biannual haircut because it's falling out of his head at the moment.
I can't believe you travelled to Fisburg to get a haircut, you fucking moocher.
What do you mean? Send me away home from work?
No, because it's fucking free.
I'm worse than social media influencers at this stage.
we'll go over the table. Groundhog Day once again. Bohemian still sitting in fifth place. And even a win on Friday won't get us up to fourth at the moment. A couple of the big results. The biggest shock of the weekend, lads, was probably Waterford United beating Dundalk. What do you think about that, lads?
Yeah. Dundalk are struggling, aren't they? At times, fucking mad stuff going on up there.
Yeah.
Waterford, new gaffer came in. Got an old tune out with them, so be interesting to see where they go.
Would you want to be in that Dundalk dressing room right now, Paddy?
If the money was right, you would.
No, it's a shambles up there, it seems, at the moment. Like, from, geez, the top down. You know, in such a short space of time, the turnaround there, like, okay, with the players they still have, you know, they are going through a transition period. You know, it was going to come when Stephen left, but to see the state of the club and where it's at now, and I know the fans aren't happy with it, it's madness. Some of the signings and that, you'd have to question them.
The likes of Zahid Bohan, the Mitch Colgan, the goalkeeper, a baby. Shane, I'm sure you're watching that thinking, fucking hell.
I saw the clips of him, like, in fairness to the lad, like, I saw the clips and I just thought, nah, he's not going to suit this league at all.
So turning them down already.
I think even with your bad hip, you do a better job.
Possibly, yeah, no.
And you know Jim Magilton from...
One hand and no eyes.
You know Magilton from your Ipswich days. Do you feel sorry for him in that position, or do you think they want to get a manager in there ASAP? They probably spent too long with him on the sideline at this stage.
No, he deserves everything he's getting up there. Fairness, I played with Jim up. I played in Jim in Ipswich, and he managed me as well. Unbelievable player, wand of a left foot, but a bit of a madman. I'm not sure if he. Where he's at in his career and that, coming in from not being with Northern Ireland, that, so it was a strange one at the time, strange appointment. Again, like everything going on in Dundalk, it seems like, a matchup, yeah.
And what about possibility of Vinnie Perth coming back? At one stage, Dave Rogers was the manager, now it looks like Vinnie Perth. The second coming for him, would you be comfortable going back to a club after being sacked?
No chance. No, I don't know. It's a strange one. Vinny again going back in there. Why would you? I don't know. He's been out of the game for a while. Nothing going on from a team, so... Yeah, if anyone's going to go back in, Vinny would definitely be putting his hand up.
Yeah, I look at the Vinny Perth situation. He's probably similar to Stephen Bradley. Stephen Bradley's one of two things, but who's actually giving them a job if they get sacked? Like, I can't see Bradley getting a job in the league if he gets sacked anywhere up the top.
Well, yeah.
That's my opinion.
I suppose, yeah. One kind of major story coming out of Dundalk as well. Chris Shields looks like he's on his way to the Danske Bank League to play for Linfield. They've obviously got all the money up there. They've probably waved the cash big time at him. I mean, Chris Shields has won everything at that club, but that's like pulling the heart and soul out of that club, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's in testimonial territory, isn't he? He's nearly there. Is he there 10 years, 10, 11 years?
He's won everything with them, you know?
He's probably their most decorated player, and for him to walk away, because he only lives up the road from it as well, so obviously, Nutsy, he's there at Linfield, isn't he? Director of football up there, so he obviously wants him up the road, and the offer's right, he's going.
Yeah, I think he's living in Bangor, somebody said, yeah. So he's not far away, and look, it would probably make sense for him at this stage to get out of that sinking ship. I'm sure Wilfred's a hebo will deputise on his £3,000 a week in centre defensive mid. Other results around the league, Pat's got a bit of form back into them. Are you surprised that Pat's were able to get a bounce after the mid-season break after kind of a bad start to the second series of games? I think they lost 3, drew 1 and won 1.
Yeah, they're a funny team. I'm surprised how well they did start the season, you know. Again, with the turnover in players, Pats are a funny one. But yeah, they got obviously a decent result in that. But they're ones who are going to be challenging. Rovers, you said, haven't been running away with it, thank God, as I thought they would this year. But for some reason, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be happening for them either.
Shamrock Rovers won the league 3 weeks ago, and it's not really it's fallen apart from them since then. Yeah. All the pundits were out saying that it's their league to lose.
Well, a pundit in the room here, Whelan, you backed Finn Harps to challenge for the league, and they've gotten a point against the champions. But Adam Foley scored again the weekend.
I didn't back them for the league. I backed them to compete, and they are competing right now. they're 3 points behind us. They are competing. So yeah, so shut your mouth.
And Adam Foley.
Every team's competing now.
Every team has to compete. Yeah.
Come here, Paddy. I have no clue what I'm talking about. Gotta give me a bit of leeway here, right?
And what was our 33-1, I think.
To win the league.
Yeah, I had a tournament on the weekend.
Yeah, to win the league, 33-1.
Yeah.
Stranger things.
We're gonna need a big push.
I'll tell you what,
if we hadn't got the win the weekend and the way the results went, we were that 2 points closer. Same against Stroud, the 2 points last kick of the game. Yeah. That's 4 points forward up the pitch.
We've lost 6 points in the 90th minute.
I thought it would have been more than that.
Yeah,
no, that's the 80th minute, I think it's more. I think it's
It's at the 80th, it's more, but in out of time it's 6 points as it is. And just on the Derry game, it looked like it was a bad game from what we saw, and we didn't see much of it because we were sitting in a pub, watching it on phones while we were watching the Euros as well. Needless to say, we were well oiled, well half caught, and eyes were crooked. So,
bit of naivety there, isn't there? Trying to see out games, and lads just need to manage it better.
It's what we said last week about Pat's signed Mountney, Benson, Forrester in the last couple of seasons, and they're three players, you know, without being critical of Long's recruitment. I think when you look at who he's signed in, there's not many people who have actually gotten over the line in terms of the league. That's why Finn McMahon has been brought in, that bringing that winner's mentality.
Yeah, and you know Philly from your Dubs days. Did you win an All-Ireland?
Yeah, 2013. With Philly, and yeah, he's a good lad, Philly.
Good lad to have around the team, probably, you know, as we said, nice to have a winner in the squad, other than my mate, Georgie Kelly. on the Derry game, that man, Ali Coote, he scored another goal from outside the box. It's like his speciality right now for Bowes. He's got 4 goals from playing on the right. A versatile player, can obviously play in the centre-attacking mid-role, centre-defensive mid-role. Paddy, are you impressed with a winger like him? Is he doing a good job that you might have done?
He's like a young Paddy Kavanagh, yeah. He's a talented player. I liked him. He was at Waterford last year, and I thought, I had a feeling he'd come to Dublin, one of the Dublin clubs to go from, because the ability he has, and he fits in it. Bowes and Luke Burt on the other side as well, two good players.
I think he signed for Bowes. He actually rang Scott Allardyce, and he asked him what Bowes like, because I think there's another Dublin club in for him.
Yeah,
and he asked Scott what's Bowes like, and he goes, sign for them. It's a fella you can do with called Stephen Silk.
Chatting shit about wearing blue, that's all they're at.
I think the two wingers are obviously coming into their own now. Obviously, Stephen Mallon, I think he was brought on Friday, probably wasn't risked on that pitch, because that pitch has been a sore one for a lot of players. Shane, have you played on that pitch before? Do you ever come off a bit sore on that Astro? I know it is.
Yeah, most Astros were sore on my body at the stage I was at, but like, it is, it's not easy, especially like coming back from a long term injury like that. You know, the way he plays the game, it is rough. I know he played with the 19s the weekend, and by all accounts he's excellent. He needs to get, you know, games into his body. But it looks like a decent prospect if we can get him right, and maybe something that we've been missing, you know, what the likes of Grant and Tordek obviously gone last year. You know, it's taken a bit of time for the lads to gel. It's unfortunate where we are maybe in the league. I don't think it reflects the team.
No, certainly doesn't.
So hopefully, you know, between now and the end of the season, they can give it a right rattle.
Start getting into it. I know, it was another late goal that we can see. It looked like Rory Feely tried to control the ball, mishit it, and the line slides into it, comes back cross goal. And of course, it was almost too scripted that Derry City would get an equaliser in the last minute. It just feels like typical Bowes this season. That pitch was obviously, you know, went against us in many ways.
It's a very bad pitch.
But
it's only up a couple of years, and it looks really, really bad. Like, obviously, if Bowes are going to be getting in a 3G pitch, it's going to have to be better in the quality. That Dundalk and there,
you'd be terrified if you had to play on that pitch every week.
I got sent off, and I'm blaming that, so.
We did have some good times up there in 2018. I think we got two wins on the spin up
we
there.
Did, yeah, we hadn't won up there for a long, long time. The cup game was unbelievable.
I think when I started Sporting Bowls or whatever 10 years ago, we can't remember us beating us there before 2018.
They're always a flaky team, as you said last week. You know, a result can go one way. They could beat us three times in a row. We could beat them three times in a row. And it's been like that for the last couple of years. And obviously, yeah, Rory Higgins has a bit of momentum in behind them now, but it looks like they're about to lose Will Patching, and that could really rip the spine out of Derry, and it'd be great to see them do fucking shy for the rest of the year, to be brutally honest, lads.
Yeah, so we sort of move on to now how we always get into things with our two guests. We always start out how they sort of get into bowls, and sort of how they get into football. I suppose, Paddy, from what I can see from my great intensive knowledge of looking at Wikipedia, you signed up bowls in 2004, I think, originally, didn't you?
Yeah, I came into the 21s back then in 2004. I was doing my leaving cert at the time, and I was living out from Leary, neck of the woods, so...
Didn't realise you were that old.
It was a tough old spin jumping on a bus after school.
You don't look that old, but wait and see Andy McNulty. He's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us. He's 32.
He's 3 years, 4 years younger than me.
He's fucking, Jesus Christ.
Taxi 8 days a week, that fella. but I couldn't commit properly. Stephen Kenny was the gaffer at the time for the first team, and I think it was Gino Lawless, could be Gino Brazil, yeah. I was under 21s manager, and I couldn't commit properly, and I just ended up going back and playing Leinster Senior League at Wayside Celtic for two unbelievable years there, and ended up going signing for UCD after that, and kicked on my League of Ireland career.
Did you play for Birmingham?
I had a little stint over in Birmingham for a year as well, yeah.
They should have gave you the Tommy Shelby IPA, which I think I'll be bringing those into home.
The year over there, and look, it was just one of them things, didn't work out for me. Played reserve team football. The Steve Bruce's gaffer at the time, first team, they got promoted that year. Called into his office at the end of the year, had a chat with him, told me, very slim chance of making the first team squad next year. I've got 90 million, need to buy proven Premier League players, and... That's that.
Well, that's a fair analysis.
Yeah. Very fair analysis.
honest as the day is long, and look, could have went, there's trials for Exeter, Rochdale, other.
Yeah, we're all on trial Mickey before,
Mouse,
don't worry about that.
Mickey Mouse club, so I ended up coming home, signing for Bray, and kicked on from there.
Yeah,
kicked
on. You retired then in between 2010 and 2011. I won't mention that.
You'll be.
No.
So then, Paddy, you had a second spell then with Bowes. How did that come about?
Yeah, I was up in Derry, finished in Derry, and I was looking to come back to Dublin, and Owen Hardy got in touch with me, and I ended up signing for Bowes.
Yeah.
And that was the start of a good 4.5 year stint.
Brilliant. Yeah. Shane, what about yourself? Where did your career start? Was it a guy at the start, or was it then football?
No, it was always football first, really. Yeah. As a young fella. Obviously went across the water, got the chance to go across at 15 years of age and have, you know, 7 years over there. And decided to pack it in at 22. As you do. Best decision I ever made in the end. Came back, played guy then for 6 years, and eventually got back into to playing with Crumb United, the Leinster Senior League. And Bowes came knocking, as well as a couple of others.
That was from Crumb United, was it?
Yeah, Crumb United. I was coaching out there, and their goalkeeper wasn't around, I think, coming up to October time, and the manager asked me to jump in. He'd been helping me for years
Martin
to do it.
Martin Loughran,
I turned him down so many times, but he let me coach out there in the facility for nothing, like, and I felt, geez, I have to give him something back. So I played a game against Fairhouse, and we won 1-0. Yeah, enjoyed it, and I said, listen, I can play till the end of the year. The gas season was over. I said, once January comes back around, the gas season starts back, I'm gone. And then that happened in January. I came back, started pre-season with the guy, and Martin says, what's the story? I said, listen, I'm enjoying it, Martin. I think I can do both. Played the end of the season in the Media Cup final out of it in the Aviva against Letterkenny. Beat them 5-0. Lost out to the league the last game of the season against...
Oh, yeah.
What's the crowd over in... Longwell or then
Bangor, Bluebell.
Bluebell, yeah, Bluebell. But anyway, a couple of clubs are knocking on the door, and Keith was the only one that would allow me to play both. Yeah, Gaelic and the Saga.
Yeah, I think
very, very professional club, both of course.
At that time, it was.
I think Danny Corcoran had similar privileges as well, playing for Finnan as well.
Donabay, wasn't he, Donham?
Donabay,
he
was playing for Finnan.
He did have the privilege, he just showed me a few points.
Yeah, that was it. You can do whatever you want, but you've got to play for both. Shane, as a goalkeeper myself, retired also.
Retired for two different reasons, obviously. You can see the 12 goals in the game, he's that hit.
Well, nobody wanted me, and I was also shit. But I remember when you signed for Bowes, Dean Delaney was actually doing quite well. He did a pretty good season in 2014, 15, 16. I know he was knocking on a bit. I was like, I did feel a bit, geez, he must feel fairly aggrieved.
I was shafted.
That Supple has come in now mid-season.
I would as well if I was him, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I came in to Keith, said I'd play. And, after a couple of games, to be fair, Dean, I had been playing well, so you had to give him, you know, a chance. And then Keith threw me in. I think it was dirty the first game. I think we lost 1-0 at home. And from then on, kind of played the rest of the season out, and Dino moved on and I stayed.
Yeah, he went back to Shells, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Dino was a good deputy for Bowes. Obviously, we've had McNulty on, so we'll probably have to get Delaney on at some stage now as well. But Paddy, you start
with Bowes. He's the reason for that scar inside my head and all.
Paddy, you started with Bowes and it was you kicked your season off with a bang with that goal out in UCD. I don't remember you doing that else that season, but
the last six games when his contract was up.
That was it, yeah.
Paddy, like a lot.
Paddy would go missing during the summer and all of a sudden better get a contract, so to turn on the style.
Lack of supply out to the right.
But you started in 2014, Paddy, that goal, I remember it out in UCD, first game of the season. We've seen it earlier, absolute top ins it was. And your favourite goal that you would have got at Bowes, was there a moment they said, geez, this is a great goal?
Obviously, the Rovers one will stand out for a long time. But
I speak on behalf of everyone, I've never seen him run that fast over 4 years than he did for that Rovers goal.
I didn't want this as a supple giving out me again.
Assist
for that one, yeah. But scored a goal in Galway, and half volley, kind of out the right hand side of the box. Thing was travelling for fucking days. Still going now, I think. Enjoyed that one. Got a good goal against Wexford.
I have a goal here for you, because I actually probably owe you a beer for it. You scored a goal against Limerick in 2014 in Thomond Park.
Oh, yeah.
That game...
Went round the keeper.
And I know you're a bit of a horseman, because you were spotting playing the Shelton with Bowes fans a couple of years ago. But that weekend, I had a treble on. It was a 5-0 treble. I had Brazil to beat Colombia, both teams to score. Pats to beat Rovers, both teams to score. And Bowes to beat Limerick, both teams to score. So you and I think it was Stephen Beattie scored the win on the 88th minute. So that was me up €1,000 before. It was the biggest bet I've ever won. So thanks for that, buddy.
Paid for my belt and stuff, yeah.
And once again, we'd like to thank Grant Crew for those lovely plays. That Rovers game that you played in, was that probably one of the highlights of your time at Bowes, the 3-1 game? Or was there another game that you said, oh, fucking, I had a great game, I love playing this, and obviously the scenes that would have followed it. Probably the 2-1, the 99-minute goal as well. Did you take part in that?
I was injured that day and I made the bench just about hamstrings fucked. But, there's a group of games there where Rovers couldn't beat us, and every time, it always comes into Supple's media ban around that time where...
the GAA Gestapo over here. Leave your phones in the bag when you're in the dressing room. No one talking to the press, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. No, it's I was just something, because I came in 2016 and I think I'd lost a game or two to them, and then from then on I don't think I barely lost a game the next 2 years to them. But I just suggested to Keith, like, maybe we should just keep our mouth shut and focus more. So it was more just to focus the lads, I thought it might help, and let them do all the talking, which they were quite good at, and maybe it worked, maybe it did have an influence, I don't know. But it was just something. And then from then on, I think for those games over the next year or so, it was either myself, Paddy, Detzer or Morrow did the media work, because not to give them any ammunition. I think you saw it in the year I left, James Kim's in.
That was yesterday, 2 years ago, I think it was, because I was actually shared the interview on Facebook the next day, and that was today.
They don't have much respect for us,
they look down on us.
And that's when the tie kind of turned, and we've lost 5 games in a row to them, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I'll take that, yeah.
I do remember we went out to Rovers, it was, I think it was around August 2017, we'd lost in May, we'd lost early on in the season in March, 2-0, I think, both occasions.
seasons.
And we lost the League Cup as well.
We did, just the League Cup. Yeah.
And obviously, we won 2-1 at Canadi, scored an absolute belter. Rovers levelled it up, and then Dinny Corcoran got the winner. Yeah. I think it kind of bounced in front of him about 3 or 4 times before flicked it over. I think who was in goal?
Cinchensky.
Yeah, he was another absolute stinker in goal for Rovers.
They had a lot of stinkers in goal down there.
Like Horgan as well.
But also on the media ban now, Shane Supple is the reason why we can't have players that are currently playing on this podcast. So they're all asking us to get them on. They won't come in because of this man.
That or Rovers record.
Just keep asking for Keith Ward. He's not allowed on, guys. Really that simple as that. But just on the contrary of that, on the flip side even, we the media ban was Stephen Bradley was literally cup final this, cup final that. The total opposite of what happened, you know, and it was totally different.
That's to say, they were doing a lot of talking at the time, and I don't think it helped them maybe focus on it. And they had the players, they had the money and stuff like that, you know, and we didn't have fuck all really, but we had good lads.
We had each other. We had a group of lads there who were fucking determined to go out and win games, and I suppose that bit of focus that, hang on a minute, we won't put any of ourselves at risk out here, put our hands out to be slapped, we'll just fucking go quietly about our business.
I think we had proper men in the dressing room as well, which maybe looking back, they possibly didn't. Like we had Derek, we had Paddy and we had Morrow, you know, good lads, seasoned pros, who the lads respected and, you know, they listened to and trusted. And that made a massive difference then, you know, with Derek there and Paddy and
Morrow. Young lads from the crew, able to see, hang on a minute, these are big games, you need to have your fucking
heads. I think that's maybe what we're lacking maybe a little bit at the moment. Like, I think that game against, the Monday game against Dundalk, the oldest player playing was 24 years of age. I know we won the game 5-1, but maybe we need someone. I know there's Bucko there and Rob Cornwell's there, but there's not that man in the dressing room that's in the 30s a season, probably.
Such a young squad. Paddy, you played with a player, and everyone who's come on this show has also said he was the glue in the Bowls team. That's Dave Mulcahy. Is he someone that, you know, in your time in 14, 15, 16, Muller was probably the glue in that dressing room, more so than Detzer in some ways?
More so, sure. Him and Derek go hand in hand, and anyway, in terms of how they keep a squad together and that, but Muller's, I suppose, brings a bit of that GAA mentality that Supple would have took up the mantle and brought with him, you know, that kind of way where he keeps the group together, keeps them focused, encourages people along, be the best you can be and give it all you have, and that's fucking, that was the basics of Muller's, similar to Supple.
That's it.
Give everything you have for the jersey.
Bit like yourself, one of the Bowls players that signed for the club wearing a pair of Snickers.
Yeah, like the work.
You only put them off a show.
No, I was actually down in biggest building in the city at the moment, Capital Dock, the end of Sir John Rogerson Quay there, the toll bridge, and obviously I'd spoke to Keith a few weeks beforehand, and it was all agreed or whatever. It was just a case of me getting time to get in, and sure enough, got a phone call saying, "Look, Lynn's up in the office there. Go up and get that sorted." So.
And knowing Lynn, it probably had spelling mistakes, everything was wrong in it. She probably printed on it.
We lost 3 points that game.
No, they'll work into the car up the dialer, sign me deal, and
I signed my deal in. Do you know what I signed my first deal?
Where?
In the McDonald's in Cabra. We keep that about 10 o'clock at night. On my way back from Gatrin.
And how many Big Macs at Longer?
Oh yeah, we probably about 10.
I've no doubt he'll be meeting with a couple of players over next while, probably in McDonald's or very similar places right now to get them signed up in July. Shane, just on yourself, I wanted to ask you one thing. I know I asked Paddy what his best goal was, but Shane, what was your best save? And off the top of my memory, I would have said the Gary Shaw one, where you clawed it off the line. I think it was 1-0 at the time.
That was at the time, it was an important one, obviously, because I think we went up then the other end a few minutes later and scored a 99-minute winner. That was my favourite game. Best save as a goalkeeper, probably one. I don't even know if they got it on the camera, actually, in the end. I was very disappointed. It was up in Sligo. Whack, I don't know whether you were still around that stage. And it was a free kick out wide on the right, I think, and it whipped in, and Raf Cotero got his head in it. It was Gordon Banks-esque save. it was never on shown or anything like that, but that was my best save, I think, up there. But my favourite, the most important one was probably that one.
And another favourite moment for your subs maybe is we played in the magical, famous Celestial Iron Brew Cup. We had a penalty shootout.
I was in bits. Like, I was at that stage of the year, and like, I was in a bad way. I knew I was retiring. I knew in August that year that I was gone after getting the scans and all that. And the lads had actually played the first round away is when I got my scans. I stayed back and I got scans with the physio Paul Kirwan, and I got the word that like me hip is in a bad way, that you probably need to step away. And but anyway, so I finished out that season, but that game was one of the ones I thought, geez, I can't do this anymore. I made a save in the first half and I could barely get back up in time I parried it. But yeah, obviously the penalties at the end were a great crack and great entertainment for the lads.
I think people were 2-0 down as well, weren't we?
We
all steam behind the goal, yeah. We're all Sutton fans. That was a great day. Obviously, we'll never speak of that tournament ever again. But Shane, on yourself, we went on that great 10-game run, including the cup. Obviously, in true Bowes fashion, it finished in fucking tears at the end of it in Cork. But I remember getting a text on a Sunday night, end of the season, which said, do you want the bad news tonight or do you want it
you
in the morning?
You told me this the next morning.
Yeah, I said, come on, give me the bad news tonight. I got to bed screaming. They said, Shane Supple's retired. I remember just threw my phone as far as possible. Which was obviously terrible news to lose, you know, yourself. Yeah. You're probably one of the players of the season. But when you left the club, did you have any idea that we were going to sign someone like James Talbot? Did you have any influence on
that? I knew we were going to sign James. I didn't know how good James would be.
Yeah.
I was kind of involved in a way with getting James and helping Keith to get James, but I didn't know James was coming from a probably not a good place at the time, coming back from Sunderland So I was a little bit worried. I was very surprised at how well the season turned out for him, and delighted for him and the club that it did turn out the way it did for him. You know, and for everyone, you know, because he's definitely, you know, one of the best keepers in the league now. But I was just delighted because I was obviously I'd been around for a while and, you know, I was quite established there and loved the club, and it was a hard conversation for me to have with Keith when I was stepping away. So I was just delighted it all worked out all right for Keith and the club in the end, you know, that they got someone to slot in.
I don't think we knew Talbot or Niall Corbett were going to be number one, but obviously Talbot has been absolutely fantastic. And just on goalkeeper as well, I have it. Who's the best goalkeeper in the league?
James is for me.
Would you? I think Ed McGinty, in my opinion, is having the best season with Sligo.
I think
there's a lot of roars and shouts about him because he was just out coming out of the 21s. I think Talbot's going to build his business more quietly. You know, he hasn't made any major clangers. I think McGinty's getting a bigger shout because of how young he is. I know Talbot's young as well, but McGinty's just a couple of years younger, and he's sort of been a press at the national level underage too.
He's having to make more saves, I think, as well, though, isn't he? Like, some of the saves he pulls off are unbelievable.
Yeah, like he's
young. For me, I'm in the Talbot camp as well. Like all round, everything about him.
I'm just here to play devil's advocate, to be brutally honest.
Serious. All round.
Like the talent, absolutely. The talent in the league in terms of goalkeepers isn't great, and you could see over the last couple of years a lot of older keepers there hanging on and hanging on. Some have moved on, and there's not much coming through. James obviously is a young goalkeeper.
You can name Gary Rogers if you want.
I couldn't do that to me, mate, Gary. but obviously Morph down in Waterford and your man at Rovers.
Manus.
He's had a couple of clangers there.
He hasn't had a great probably season by his standards, you know. But they're the three, you know, best keepers,
they're
definitely.
And
McGinty is good, young keeper, still learning his game, making certain mistakes that, you know, will hopefully in time be ironed out.
Clarity going sign for our mate Morph.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
No, Madden, right. Wasn't he got player of the season at Pat's in
the year? Next day they announced
him. He was told early on he wasn't part of the plan, so, you know, they might.
He's not a bad keeper, actually, Pat's keeper.
Yaros.
Yeah,
he's the Liverpool on loan.
And the wingers, Paddy, I suppose, looking at Bowes there, we've already gone through a couple of the wingers there, but if you had to pick another winger in the league who you'd like to sign and bring to the club, who would it be?
You can't say yourself anymore. No.
Extra stone on me now. Lose a stone, be alright.
You're not going to hug it, are you?
Bit of weight too. if I was to pick a winger, be honest with you, I'm actually excited to see get Malin fit.
Yeah.
So I think he's fucking unbelievably talented.
We've been saying this for 8 weeks on the podcast now.
I would consider putting Coop more inside and playing Malin on the flanks along with Burt. I think they're two great attackers.
Who do you say?
Someone has to go
then. Devoy surely starts. Buckley. Yeah, I mean,
I'd
make a great case for Livingston to start ahead of Buckley in some respects.
Oh, he's not as industrious as.
No, he's not, but he's also one of the calmest players probably in that squad. You know, he gets the ball, just shifts it off, does the simple stuff, doesn't lose it.
Buck will get about people and get people going.
He gets at your ankles a bit more, yeah.
No, he'll get over that. Also, he'll do the giving out, he'll do the ugly side and tell players when they're wrong and all that, carry on. Club skipper for a reason, I feel, you know. But I don't think the Voyant Tierney will be able to play every game this season. Anyway, they're young fellas, don't want to burn them out, we've got to look after them. So I'd play Cool probably inside at times and get Mallon in on the flanks.
I sort of said that. I think Tierney could be due a break. I don't think he's missed many minutes. He's playing a lot of football for his young age. Now, Long managed him well the last couple of seasons, bringing him out. But I think he's only played every game this season.
With Tierney,
yeah,
he might have been for a bit, but like he has been the most consistent.
He didn't get much game time last year, curtailed season, and obviously no League Cup and whatnot. But I think he's played most games now.
He's been excellent this year, revelation this year.
You've had a couple of Terry Butcher moments for Bowles. Tell us about those.
Nearly missed. That was the broken nose for the Bowles.
How's your mom worried about him? Or coming into the dressing room afterwards? He's more worried about that. Can I make the ball?
Get married in 5 weeks' time.
That didn't matter.
Get married. Mrs. stand there looking at me going, shaking her head. What's going on? I says, will I make Liverpool tomorrow? made Liverpool, but now Terry Butchermont, dirty it was, got fucking halved in the middle of the pitch. And we'd made our substitutions and we were down to 10 men. Got to the ambulance, got stitched. Collie comes running into the ambulance. What's the story, Doc? You've got him stitched. We're down to 10 men. And the doc's going, he's not going back on. And I'm like, stitch this up and going back in. So I was coming back around the pitch and I says to Dino when I'm running by, Dino, make sure you kick everything fucking left. I can't see out my eye here. Fucking in bits. And next thing, first ball goes out for a goal kick. Dino gets the ball, launches it straight onto my head. Me and fella jump. I'm like,
You're going to have to go for it, turtleneck.
I have to go for it. If I don't, you fuckers will be slaughtering me, not jumping for the ball. So,
I'm right, so.
Yeah.
Look back and I go to Dino, arms out. What's going on? He just starts laughing at me.
Did we win?
I'm not sure.
Well, it was in Derry Way, so probably didn't.
It was in the Daily Mount, it was concussed.
Oh, was it? Oh, brilliant. And just as he asked you, Paddy, he said, you know, who would you like to sign for Bowles? But here's a question. Who is the best winger in the league that you've seen? This season? You got the likes of Billy King, Matty Smith, Bort Coote.
Oh, who's the young fella? Sligo, he's going to play more on the 10 now.
Jordan Gibson. Oh, yeah, he's fantastic player. He actually, you know what, and aesthetically, he looks like an absolute baller with the little low socks and the little throw. He looks like he's got, you with your low socks and your jersey fed onto you, yeah.
He's one of them players, he carries the ball, he looks effortless. On the ball like that's no bother to him.
Sure, Pats are kicking themselves. They let him go real easily as well. You know, he looked like someone who's a big star for them.
Yeah, strange one.
Now, Shane, I heard you are an absolute demon on the Guinness. as Paddy has said, he said you're like Paddy Losty.
At the right times now. End of season, known to go missing for a few days and that. But
end of season over Liverpool. Any tell tales from that story? Is there? I think you want to tell us something.
Oh, that was a mad weekend. We went over the day after the game, the last game of the season, and we go crack over there. That's how sorted us out. As
just,
he does.
Just a story before we go there. Actually, remember Owen Morgan.
Oh, Morgan, type of ball was young fellow.
Yeah. Just we were all getting ready to go, and Bucko decided the week before, we'll tell a couple of the young fellas it's a fancy dress. going around the dressing room. Now we're meeting in the
port
at 5 o'clock. Make sure you have your fancy dress ready to go. We're all going fancy dress. So this has went on for a few days or whatever, and Bucko going around saying, What are you dressing up as? Had the fellas. I'm sure a couple of the older boys are in it. I'm dressing up as Batman, I'm going as Wolverine, all that carry on. So we arrive into the port, into the terminal, and we've all got our tickets and we're going on. And next thing, Owen Moore shows up with the help, wears volley gear on.
Brilliant.
Oh, God, to do that to a young fella as well.
I know.
Character build.
Yeah.
Well, where has he been since?
He's gone in the States, is he?
Yeah, I think he's over in the States. I don't know where. He haven't heard nothing.
He's still better than sitting in this podcast room tonight. When
we got back from Liverpool that night, so I had planned that Morrow will go into town or something like that, you know, and whoever else was up for now. Morrow was in bits dying after the night in Liverpool, so he didn't. But Gary, what's his name? Kieran O'Connor. Dundalk.
Yeah.
Was playing with us on loan. Didn't play much now, unfortunately, for the kid. But a great character. So he's mad for it. So
we've seen the videos, don't worry.
Have you? So myself and himself got in a taxi and went into town and into Temple Bar. I think it was the El Dober that I met my old guy manager in there. We were having pints, and then I brought him up to Coppers.
There was a GAA man that chair.
A Dublin player with Coppers. Fucking shock horror there. Who'd have thought that one?
Anyway. Gold card, bro.
He doesn't even have a card.
Yeah, don't even. And we were in there till like, I don't know, we're in the back bar till about 4 in the morning or whatever, and I'm going
home.
He
tells the doorman not tonight.
Yeah.
Just go to the point. My name's David Cluxton.
Cluck was with me. But yeah, me, so guys, I'm going home, I'm done. I'm 4 o'clock, I'm getting a taxi home. Kieran, guys, supposed to be staying with me. I said to him, you could stay with me actually, because he had nothing with him. He was on the train home. So I give him the key. I say, I'm going. He's gone off somewhere with his mate, or he's met some lads or something. He's gone back to a gaff party. I gave him a key not thinking actually. Anyway, that he won't come near the gaff. So anyway, I've gone home. Next morning I wake up and I was in my dad's at the time. And my dad comes down to me and goes, who's that Dundalk fucker that jumped into bed beside me last night? He came back to the house at about 7 in the morning and tried to get in beside me dad. My dad nearly fucked the head off.
Big friend having none of it.
He thought he was getting in beside me or something. Like that. I had to drop him home then the next morning. He was up in the spare room. My mum got up and put him into the spare room. I got up and walked him up. We said, get in there, I'll bring you home or I'll throw you on the train.
And we have another question for you here, Supps. Are you still barred from the Crown Plaza in Santry?
Who told you that?
We don't give away our sauces. There's a reason why we don't give them away, because they don't come back to us if we do.
I know the man who gave that to you.
I didn't even know we were back.
I was looking after that man that night, Oscar Brennan.
Oh, old swollen head.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. You know what he's like for getting in fights?
Old elbow head, yeah.
Brilliant. Have you got anything else, or we move on to drugs?
I suppose we'll just briefly go through the drugs and then talk about the derby.
So we'll move on to the Friday's fixture against Strata. It's a big game after last Friday. We really want to get a win. Does he change the team? Does he break up Feely and Kelly at the back? Does he put Finity or Cornwall in two household names and a starting balls 11 have been sitting on the bench for the last 3 weeks? Does he change the team in that respect?
It depends on what he thinks after the back of the game during the night. You know, if he wants to get more, experienced lads in there. Like Feely is obviously experienced. I haven't seen loads of them this year, but Rob and Finity, over the last couple of years have done well. Maybe Keaton knows more than obviously we do at the moment. But it is they need to win on Friday. Like if they don't.
You need to win, get game time into the two boys if they need experience going into the derby. Rob's playing Monday. I don't think I'd be so shocked if Rob doesn't start Monday.
Rob Cornwall is one of the shouters in the team, more so than Buckley at times. Rob Cornwall is the big voice, it's match fitness, I'd be concerned about there, you know what I mean, going into a derby game and then you're going to catch Drogheda.
You need to get bridge that gap, and if we don't, it's hard going into Monday if you don't get a result. I don't know.
Get that momentum going. Trot are decent, to be fair.
Keith doesn't change a winning team. Obviously, we didn't win on Friday. I have a feeling he might drop maybe one of Feely and Kelly. I thought Kieran Kelly's been fantastic. He's made a couple of blips this year, but I thought he's been brilliant this year. We're going up against the Drogheda team, who have a lot of experience, a lot of good players, and a lot of players that are performing. The likes of Mark Doyle and Chris Lyons, I think they're on 7 and 8 goals this season up front. They play as a two up front. They've got Dane Massey in centre-half, who's got 4 goals from centre-half. Mm. They've got Gary Deegan, who's just doing a job. Gary Deegan is doing a job in midfield now, which they're just letting him work away. Tim Clancy's managing him brilliant. Unlike last year at Shells, where he was held up on a pedestal as this footballing god, and it didn't end well for them in the first division now, which I've never actually heard of. But I think P-Mail play down there or something, I don't know. But they've got a really good side, experienced players like that, just what you need. And maybe that's players that we might be lacking a bit now at the moment, like Stan Massey and Deegan.
They have players that know how to win games. And when they do get in front, they're able to be clever and kill games off at times. And to be fair to Tim Clancy, he's put together that experienced squad initially with a view to probably staying in the division. And now it's kind of...
Well, it's getting into Europe, is probably there. They've kicked on now.
And that's where... Europe's probably obviously their target, so and Balls will be up against it.
Former Balls man Dinny Corcoran, he came off the bench for them last week. He's got a bit of game time under him. He had a bit of an injury again this year. what would you like to play with? And is it something would you be sick if you scored against us?
I wouldn't be surprised anyway if you did, like, but yeah, Dinny's a pleasure to play with, like, you know, he's so intelligent, probably looking from afar, and as fans sometimes maybe the work rate isn't always as there, but I don't think Dinny needed to really at times, because you knew you put it on the right place.
The ball fed was 4-10 yards out, you knew this was going in. Like,
I think it's unfortunate for us with Dinny, you know, at times he missed large chunks of the season, like 15 games. I think if we had had him, you know, would have been
proper taking over.
He probably would have got Europe earlier, like, but we did. We missed him for, I think, 2 seasons on the trot, where he was out for at least a quarter, if not a third of the season. And, like, he's just a talented player, you know. Probably should have done more in the game, in the league, really, with the talent he had.
Yeah.
We'll do a prediction for a draw of the game. Jordan, what do you reckon?
1-0 balls.
1-0 balls, yeah. Paddy?
I think balls score 2.
Yeah, I think 2-1.
I'm going to go with 2-1 as well.
So, we're going into the derby now on Monday, and I think between myself and Jay, I think we can honestly say we, I don't know, we're actually translated onto the pitch, but we fucking hate this cunt with every ounce of our body. And I hope that translates you to the players, and hopefully it goes into the match on Monday. I know there's 100 fans there, but
only one of us is going to be there.
We're actually talking about only one of us get the spot for Monday. Bodger bollocks. Wayne has suggested we do rock, paper, scissors. I suggested we do whoever gets the most predictions right the weekend. So
it's actually my game week as well, so I don't know why I'm being so generous to you here, to be honest.
Because I'll bat you if you don't.
I'm disappointed with Bodge. Gives us free beers and won't give us free tickets.
Bodge, truth be told, is a dickhead, to be honest. Just buzzing. But it's obviously we lost out in Tallaght 2-1. Probably shouldn't have lost. James Findlay was sent off. Shocking decision by the referee, but there's no point dwelling on those bad decisions. We have to beat them. We can't let them get 6 wins in a row. So obviously,
it could be six
if they win on Friday. They're not exactly the same team they were last year. They're missing big players. They're not killing games off like they should be. They're basically winning games the last minute, whereas basically we're throwing away games on the last minute. And that's been the difference between where we are in the league and where Rovers are now. And I think something has to change that game, and hopefully we get a winning shot.
We need a performance. Bowles need a good performance on Monday. Whatever happens on Friday is one thing, but I think to really fucking kickstart the second half of the season and go after a European spot and challenge on all fronts is a result on Monday is
I think, like, a challenge for a lot of teams, and particularly Bowles, like this year with this new group as well, like, they miss the fans in the stadium, you know, like that atmosphere. And I think it does suit certain teams in the league, and they're playing in it now at the moment, and maybe, you know, doing well on the back of it. But I think the lads there miss the Bowes fans. Like, there's nothing like, especially the Bowes Rovers games. Like, and I think it suits our lads to have that support. Whereas maybe on the other side of it, they're happier enough.
Exactly. You got the likes of Bort or Coote running up the wing with a full jolly stand.
Rocking jollies. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly.
I think the difference
right in on top feature. Yeah. You know, that's exactly what you
us want. And them is well fan wise. You know, I think that's instilled with them, particularly having paid out big money down the years. When they're losing against Bowes, they're getting on players' backs more than getting behind them. Where I don't think, no matter what stage, even if we lost again, the fans of Bowes, we'd always get behind the team no matter what.
It comes from Bowes things that you can't give out to players who are poorly paid.
That's true.
That was an excuse back then. I'm not sure now.
No, I've seen your wages. Don't give
up. Your clean sheet bonus.
I didn't get that too well.
On the mic for the Rovers game is my good friend Kevin Brannigan. He'll be up there with Stephen Doyle, which will probably look like a Deals Oasis tribute act up in the commentary booth. So we look forward to hearing Brannigan talk shy for that game.
And Paddy, you've got a couple of medals from your League of Ireland career. Which one matters to you more? You won a league for some team in 2010 or 11, and you won a Leinster Senior Cup for Bowes. You the fuck one away.
Leicester Senior Cup when I got man of the match in the final, I think.
Wexford
Youth got.
You leave the building
so up, Paddy. Yeah.
Now,
celebrating the Leinster Senior Cup, probably one of the lowest moments of our Bowes career, to be brutally honest. We move on to the European draw, which we got today. It was out at 12:30 today. A difficult enough draw to go away and play against. There's a Stian playing in the sky. I know Robert's beat him a few years ago. Sorry, you can edit that bit out.
A little bit of bollocks.
They have a decent record in Europe. And by that, I mean not being absolutely trounced by some teams. They beat Bangor City, Motherwell and Lech Poznan before losing into Milan in 2015. They've got a couple of home wins against Levadia Tallinn and other teams from in around that grim part of the world. But they're obviously a decent side. They're in Europe regularly enough. Was it a tough draw, you reckon? Do you reckon we'll get a result out there?
It was the toughest a lot, I think, when you're looking at the group that we had. But they're not on B. But you look at the last few years in Europe, they've lost some ties. You look at it and you maybe expect a more northern team that direction to win. I know both have a bad record against Icelandic teams, particularly in the last 10 years. But I think we're very suited. And I think Mr. Bastian here, he's been brought in for a job. And I think he's going to get us over our line in a couple of games in Europe.
The man we talk about every week, let's hope he's fit for that. Paddy, what do you reckon for that European game? Would you think it's an alright draw for Bowles? Do you reckon we'll get something out of it?
Good draw. The old Icelandic model and their footballing population is growing, I think.
I think they can shove their thunderclap up their arse. Yeah. They've got the most overrated fucking
the
Vikings.
Most coaches per capita, the most badges per capita or something. That's how many people are not kicking a ball then.
No, they've invested into their grassroots football or whatever, and look at somewhere without getting too into it or where Ireland needs to go, I think, a bit of it. So it'll be an interesting game. Hopefully fucking Bowles get a result though.
Shane, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it depends on the form going into it, and I think we have a squad now that's big enough to maybe manage it, depending on injuries obviously going in. But I think the squad is bigger than it's kind of been whenever we were there at the time. So hopefully, you know, there'll be probably a bit of rotation depending on when the game falls in between what games here domestically, you know. But definitely have the players there, and they'll be going in with no fear.
And I think the main thing about this European tie is we get through. It's not a financial award. Is that we'll have our bows jerseys tucked into our shorts with our bellies out on a fountain in Europe for the first time.
Bare-chested Bohemians causing absolute murder in some European fountain. I hope to God it happens. We missed out last year. We would love to go to Hungary. I'd love to go to Iceland either way. But go on, let's just get you around and let's give us that trip that we've always wanted. Let's get off this godforsaken island for a couple of days as well.
So look, before we finish up, you lads, a couple of questions that we always ask, especially when the footballers come in. If you had to pick your five-a-side team, you don't have to put each other in it.
Well, I'm putting Supple in goals, man.
He's making sure he gets in, so he has to put
Now, definitely Supple in goals. Detter, one of the best five-a-side players.
He'd be sent off after 5 minutes.
No,
you want to see him play the cages in town, he's a serious operator. Bucco, another street footballer. So, what am I on there? Three.
Yeah, which yourself?
Self.
And a striker.
Then I need a goal. Dinny Corcoran.
Corcoran plays, yeah. What about you,
Shane? Yeah, not too dissimilar. Definitely put Wacker in. Intelligent footballers. This is an intelligent team, actually. So myself, my goal. Detter, Wardy, Paddy, and Dinny.
Yeah.
And then another question, because I want to spring one on you. If you had to pick any footballer, dead or alive, in time to sit down and have a couple of points, who would it be?
George Best obviously springs to mind.
That's because you want to go on the fucking lash.
Sit down and have points at Best, he'd be something else. Fucking lunatic. To have a chat though, obviously Roy Keane, subs would know a bit about Keane. I'll be fair.
I think Best would have 2 points and start hanging around women.
Well, that's true, we go disappearing on you already, Houdini. Seeing Cantona and the Olympia doing an old sit down chat show, just very arrogant and sarky. Love him though, great player and all.
Like the rest of us.
You can say
us,
we're footballers as well.
I go with someone of the older generation. Like, I always love watching the football from the older days, and the likes of Pat Jennings or Gordon Banks or someone like that would be
keepers.
I think I would have suited that generation better than when I did play, to be honest.
Well, the pitch is a bit soft already.
Yeah.
Go out on the beer more often.
That's
before the match.
Yeah, Gaza would have been some night out, alright.
Gaza, there you go. Now we know exactly what Paddy wants, and we know what Shane wants. Two very different answers.
Paddy with a fishing rod outside Royal Mill.
I just think all the lunatics, the stories you'd have, the likes of subs there with Kieran O'Connor's story like that. Just, you know, when you're thinking about what happened the night before. The next day, you're on the piss, like whatever.
You're sitting in the corner of a hotel room crying about what you've done.
Well, you boys are running around with guns up and dirty 10 o'clock the next morning.
I'm going up next Saturday. Fuck, that was great. We want to thank our sponsors, Grand Cru Beers, once again. Thank you very much, Boz. Sorry for calling you a dickhead earlier. Vault Fashions and Jay Blake's Barbers, New Age Barbers. So you can all get, well, I might get my free haircut this week. We've got a couple of shout outs to do. Jordan, you've got a big one there.
I suppose sort of a big week for or gang of Bowles fans. Last in November 2018, like many people in Ireland, we lost a friend through suicide, sadly. This week is his birthday, is his 19th of June. He would have turned 24, so sadly he won't be here to us to watch the derby and watch the draw of the game. But a friend of ours, also one of Keane's best mates, Matt Drew, he's going to do a 50-kilometre cycle a day for 21 days. He's going to take a two-day break. After that, he's going to do the David Goggins Challenge. He's going to run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And he's going to raise all the money in honour of OK to Talk Ireland, which was a foundation set up by Keane Mullally's family after his passing. I think the Bowles Club has been very kind to us down the years regarding promoting it. I think the players have even chipped in at time to time. Well, they've chipped in all the time, more or less. The money will be handed over on the 24th of the 7th to Samaritans, who are a 100% volunteer-run charity. And it's called, on the 24th of the 7th, it's called Samaritans Day. It's because they are available for 24 hours, 7 days a week for any sort of services. So again, obviously, we've lost someone, sadly, one of our mates through suicide. We don't lose any more people in Bowles or even outside Bowles. So that phone call is there for anyone who wants to ring it, and we'd obviously really appreciate it. Any Bowles fans, we'll throw in a few bob towards the pot, because I think we've always got a few quid in from fans in the club throughout the year. So that's all I have to say. So fair play to Matthew for doing it. And look, hopefully Keane's looking us over the weekend and we get the win against the Scum on Monday.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank our two guests for coming in today. We've got an absolute great chat with Wacker and Supple. Two great players for Bowles. We have two big games coming up. European game as well. So come on, the fucker. Bowles, go Bowles! Go Bowles!
Because we all follow Bowles wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowies, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again. I said,